great future. We're talking real money.
What do we worry about more than anything? What do we worry about all the time? We worry, if we're smart anyway. If we're stupid, we don't. But if we're smart, we worry about retirement. We don't just worry about retirement. We worry that we might run out of money before we run out of retirement, which really actually means just dying. We worry about that, and there's a good reason. Hi, I'm Don. That's Tom. Welcome to Talking Real Money, the podcast. We're here almost every weekday talking to you about money, and you're invited to call us with your questions and comments and thoughts and ideas at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255, or send questions in at talkingrealmoney.com. And it is a serious concern, Tom. People do worry about running out of money before they run out of life.
Yeah, it's about half of Americans have that concern. I mean, that you could call that fairly sizable. And a new study finds that, I hate reading stuff like this, almost half of Americans, older Americans, die with less than $10,000 in financial assets. And most people, sadly, the majority are retiring on Social Security benefits. And the average benefit check?
Oh, what?
$1,543 a month. $1,543.
Well, that's up from the last time I remember looking it up, which was 14-something.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a lot of money. And so here, we want to talk just a little bit about this, because this is the primary reason, by the way, that people call us, or they get a retirement app, or they just ask for a free hour of our time, which we offer free. They want to know, do I have enough money for retirement? Or actually, they always say, can I retire? And I say, sure. And they say, well, don't you need to look at the number? Oh, okay, you want to know if the money is going to last. Well, you can retire anytime you like, but there's another question as to whether you can finance it. Only 18%, according to this study, retired with enough money to maintain their standard of living. Now, when we run planning, we put everything in the computer, and the computer says, the software says, you're going to spend 3% more a year, because that's what inflation's been back to about the 1930s. I know it's been less in the last 10 years. But here's the interesting part. 29% of the people that are surveyed said, well, okay, but what I did in retirement is I adjusted my cost of living, right? I didn't spend as much on dinners out. I didn't travel. I didn't do some of the other things.
That's my argument.
I adjusted things.
It's called flexible spending. It's just you adjust your spending.
Most people end up doing that. Now, our clients don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to live big as long as I can in retirement, right? So what do you do to avoid either one end of the spectrum or the other? Number one, there's a reason this is called personal finance. Your plan really is your plan. There isn't a plan. And that's the other thing people think is, tell me what to do, check the box. No, because your situation is different. Mine's different than Don's. Don's is different than et cetera. So I think that's a very, very, very important
thing.
Well,
yeah, you robbed the cradle when you got married. So you
there's a small problem with still a child at home.
Yeah.
And I mean child at home, because
no, literally.
They don't go anywhere anymore. They don't go anywhere. Number two, I do really like the software we use. It's Money Guide Pro. It looks at, by the way, it's fascinating. You can take your portfolio and then look at historical, how it would have done for the last, I think it's 60 years. Or you can say, if you believe the smart people, Money Guide Pro, I want to look at projected returns, because the projected returns are actually less than the historical ones. So you can get a more pessimistic look. But I do believe in long-term inflation, because inflation is something people have a tendency to overlook. And if you run inflation at 3% a year, do you know prices about double in about 26 or 27 years? So that means if you have a retirement of a quarter of a century, which is not an unreasonable amount in today's world, you got to figure that in. Now, as we pointed out, people adjust things. I think that's fair. But here's my third point. I love this one. I took this from Christine Benz. It's such a great quote. The only correct withdrawal rate from your portfolio will be known when you are
dead.
There isn't one. There isn't like just take out 4% or 5%, because we don't know what the market's going to do for the next 30 years. We don't know what you're going to do for the next 30 years. And we certainly do not know what inflation will look like for that period of time. We're hoping it stays relatively low, but I really couldn't tell you.
I'm still hung up on the $1,543 from Social Security. Do you know, if you're alone living on $1,543. The average rent of an apartment in the U.S. is
how much?
$1,124. So now you subtract that, you got $419 left every month to pay everything.
Unless you get a triple net place that pays the heat and the electricity or something, that's a pretty rough deal, yes.
Yeah.
Even if it isn't, it would still be pretty rough.
Yeah, but that's the average. So you know that they're in Seattle, yeah,
I mean,
for example,
I was gonna say,
you're Seattle, not going to get an apartment for $1,124.
Nowhere near Seattle, no.
Nowhere, I mean, Spokane, that's really not close.
It is not, no.
Wenatchee, maybe.
Yeah, the Wenatchee probably do pretty well. I'd probably do pretty well in Walla Walla for $1,100 a month. Probably okay. But yeah, now with the research,
Walla Walla is just one of those names I like saying. I just love saying Walla Walla.
Well, always loved it. As a guy who spent 4 years there, did my 4 years in Walla Walla, I'm fully appreciative of that.
Is that where the state pen is?
It is.
Is it really?
That's a joke. I did spend 4 years there, but I was going to college, okay? So it wasn't for the alternative housing that is offered there. No, I did visit it once one day, but that was the extent of my time at the big house.
So the moral of the story is pretty simple. You do what you can to have as much as you can in retirement. You plan for what you need. You try to build the wealth for that, but then remember, when you get there, there are things that come up that are unforeseeable under any scenario. So the key to success in any part of life, including retirement, is flexibility.
I think that's a great word. It's a great word physically. It's a great word financially, right? I mean, because you just have to be willing to go along with some of the bumps, some of the changes. But I will say this, again, we know, because we talked to so many of you, most people haven't even looked at a plan. I think after you're age 50, you should at least say, here's a way it's starting to look by my mid-60s. By the time you're 60, you should really be thinking about, hey, when am I going to take Social Security? How am I going to replace my income? Those things should be in a plan. And generally, even if you're a really smart investor, you should have a third party. That's got to be a 100%.
Yeah,
fiduciary fee luck. Only to do it, because you're gonna get an insurance product sold to you, something else, but you should at least have that other look, that other opinion, Don, that helps you make good decisions in the retirement red zone. I'll put it that way.
You have questions for us? We love to answer them. Just call us at 855-935-TALK or send your questions in at talkingrealmoney.com on the contact form. And here is a question about life insurance. Life insurance. I have a term policy expiring next year. I turned 51. The policy was cheap. It was a 20-year level premium, $170 per year for $250,000 death benefit. I had a rare form of cancer about 10 to 15 years ago. It was very local and was removed and has not come back. I wanted to get a new policy, but was denied. I could convert this policy to a universal life or whole life, but I am concerned about the cost. What are my options? I have two kids in college.
Okay, that's the operative part to me, by the way, the college thing. If college is figured out, I don't see any reason for life insurance.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I thought the exact same thing.
I still have some.
Thing.
And I'm facing the issue now of I have the money. Liquid, do I still need the policy? And I'm thinking, no, because I'm paying, why would I pay all that money? That's like an add-on. I mean, you don't really need to have that. But in this situation, no, I don't see any reason to go get a new policy, no.
If you have enough in assets for your spouse, if you are married, I assume you are, if you have enough in assets for your spouse to live comfortably, and your spouse is still capable of, and particularly if your spouse is still capable of earning a living, the kids in college, they're going to be out soon. You don't have a huge obligation to them. As you said, your policy expires next year. I believe that death insurance, and I prefer calling it death insurance because it certainly doesn't keep you alive. I prefer that it be used for specific purposes, to provide someone for whom you provide care with money needed should you pass before there are other means to support them.
the two mistakes I see generally are younger people, 30 years old, households are strained to sort of pay the bills. They don't have life insurance, death insurance, whatever you want to call it. They have young kids. They should have it. I think that makes sense. The other mistake I see is what you just mentioned. People have a tendency to think, well, I have a $250,000 policy and I'm 65. Should I keep paying these stepped up premiums and keep the policy in place? I'm like, well, you don't need it. You have the liquid assets. Your spouse is going to be fine if something happens to you. But they have this mindset like, oh, that it's a nice thing to have.
I wasted all that money before. Now I want to keep going because if I keep buying lottery tickets, eventually I'm going to win. Well, this lottery is the death lottery. You don't want to win this lottery. Not early anyway. Yeah, not exactly. Early anyway. So, no, I think.
No, I think that's good advice. Yeah, I think that's right.
And you won't get term if you've had cancer. You just, I've looked all over the place to see if anybody writes policies, and term is just not achievable because, again, the insurance company is betting against you. They're going to win. They're the house.
They know the odds better than you do.
Well, one more question. It's really quick.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Go ahead. 529 plan question. Which is better, the Vanguard plan or the Fidelity plan? I live in Arizona. There you go.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, that's a great question because I don't know what a step back.
Yeah.
Here's what I like about 529s. Number one, I want you to get into a 529 with no load and low fees. Number two, I think the age-based, despite Vanguard's recent slip-up with their age-based program, which means the money's invested according to the age of the beneficiary. So in other words, if a child is just born, the money's going to go into an all-stock portfolio. As they get closer to college, you're going to reduce the stock exposure because they're going to be drawing on the money. That's done automatically. You don't have to do anything with the funds, et cetera. I think those two things, three things actually, no loads, low fees, actually low cost of the underlying funds, and age-based. Those four things I think make sense.
Yeah, and I the Arizona program has really not great choices. So I wouldn't use the Arizona program, the 529. They have actively managed funds from Fidelity. They have Ivy funds, which are actively managed. They're not the cheapest I've seen. We've looked at several, and we've been very happy with the fees and the structure of a plan from just a state catty corner from you, just kind of right over there called Utah.
You're talking Utah. Well, Utah, but I also use West Virginia. I think both of them are very good plans.
Yeah, the Utah is really easy, though. It's my529.com. That's easy.
And again, use the age-based program. The fees are very low. It's very easy to set everything up. I find it to be the ease of use in today's world, easy to make contributions. I do this for my grandkids on their birthdays and on holidays. They take care of everything else. Even though I'm a professional and I could do it on my own, it's one less thing on my list. I love the way those things operate.
And, of course, Grandpa has the rep of being a miser and doesn't give him any fun stuff. He just gives us.
Oh, come on. I got a rocket kit waiting out in my garage for my 4-year-old grandson.
So wait a minute, you're buying him rockets and a college education? What a good grandpa you are.
Well, we haven't seen where the rockets go yet. We'll see.
Is this like an Estes rocket kit?
No. I think it's water. Okay.
So water. You're not getting him real like rockets.
No, I think his mother would be stopping me at the door.
How old is
that.
He now?
So, he's 4.
Oh, he's too young. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you're not, talking not the launcher ones. No. We did all those with my sons. They're great, but he's a little young.
I was a big fan of rockets when I was a preteen.
Oh, yeah.
Loved those things.
That was fun. They're great.
Oh,
great times.
Gosh, I lived in Houston.
Not quite yet.
And we had the lizards like we have here in Florida, and I would always get the rocket with the payload thing.
I think we should leave it at that.
And put a lizard in there and see what they were.
I was waiting.
See how space travel was for a lizard. It was an experiment.
Now you can make sure you write Don and you call him. I had nothing to do with his experiments on reptiles.
They did not die. They came out a little groggy, a little disoriented. Like, it's kind of walking sideways. It's like, oh.
Are there any other animal abuse stories you want to share with us?
No, I love animals, but
lizards. I know you do, actually.
Lizards are, they're dinosaurs. They're just tiny dinosaurs.
That's a good point. And he was trying to send them back from where they came, apparently.
And they're ugly. I mean, we live in the land of dinosaurs here in Florida. dinosaurs. This is the post-game show.
Are you talking about the residents? Or are you talking
No, I'm talking about the giant lizards. I mean,
the actual reptiles. Okay.
My wife and I, we don't go into restaurants until the COVID shots are completely effective on both of us. And we grab our lunch and we go sit at the park here in Florida. We look out over the park and have our lunch. And for the past couple of weeks, there's this like 7-foot gator that is like doing laps.
I think you sent me a picture of it.
Doing laps back and forth in front of us. It's kind of like, can I have that Chick-fil-A? Hey. Can I have that Chick-fil-A?
Or are you going to slip and fall into the drink?
They're hoping that I'll drop that Chick-fil-A in there.
Dive.
So, yeah, we have dinosaurs. Those and birds, they're dinosaurs. All right.
Indeed.
Are we done?
Speaking of dinosaurs, time for us to wrap up.
Speak for yourself.
Sorry.
All right, guys. Hey, have a great one. We'll talk to you soon. I'm Don. That's Tom. We're the guys talking real money.
Talking real money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That's a wrap.